Let me stand. I am tired. I am weak. I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Oh, precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
When my way groweth drear, precious Lord,
amen,
linger near.
Oh, yes.
When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call. Hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
Oh, precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on,
let me
stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm,
shadow appear and the night lingereth near and the day is past and gone.
Oh, yes.
At the river I stand, guide my feet, hold my hand, take my hand. Precious Lord, lead me home.
Oh, now, precious Lord,
take my hand,
lead me on, let me stand. The Lord. Amen. That's your desire tonight? To be led home by the hand of the Lord. Well, I believe He's going to take us there, don't you? Certainly do. God bless you. So good to be in the house of the Lord. Are you glad to be in church one more time? God is so mindful of us and so good to us to let us come back to His house to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Turn around and shake somebody's hand. Greet him in the name of the Lord. Tell him you're glad to see him in church on Wednesday night. What a privilege it is. Play some more of that, guys. Let's sing that for them one more time. am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Give the Lord a good hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer request tonight. I want to pray for Brother Jackie Benton tonight, who has a sinus infection. Also, Sister Wilma has bursitis in her body. We want to remember her also tonight as we pray that the Lord would certainly be mine. So that's a wonderful family couple right there. Amen. We appreciate them very much. I want to pray for Crystal Eason, who has cancer, has not been given long to live. Most of all, pray for her salvation. So let's just commit that thing about her unto the Lord tonight. We know God is able to grant those requests. We'll just commit it all unto the Lord. Maribel Marrero wants to thank the Lord for giving her a good job. She praises the Lord for that. Thank you for praying. Want to please pray for Annalise Smith, has a high fever tonight. So let's remember that prayer request tonight as we pray. Certainly want to continue to pray for Brother Donnie, Brother Darrell, Brother Daniel. The Lord just give them a good time while they're away and protect them and bring them back home safe and sound to us. Want to pray for Brother Randy Scott having severe pain in his lower back. So let's remember that prayer request tonight. Sister Lona Hara suffered a foot injury in a lot of pain. Let's remember her as we pray tonight. The Lord will be mindful of her. Want to pray for Brother Jim Babb having a heart procedure tomorrow. Also, Sister Linda not feeling well. So let's remember those folks tonight as we pray that the Lord would be with them. Brother and Sister Baker both not feeling well tonight, need prayer. So let's remember those folks. Brother Ryan Kennedy says, I have an important job interview in the morning. Please pray with me about it. So we just pray that the will of the Lord would be done in that situation. Linda Krager says to please pray for my sister Joyce Treadwell. She cannot get her diabetes under control, just really struggling with that. So let's pray for that need tonight, that the Lord would be mindful of all those situations, all the unspoken prayer requests tonight. If you have a need, something you'd like for this group to pray about, could we stand to our feet tonight? Brother Keith, why don't you just come take us to the Lord tonight in prayer on behalf of these requests? We just commit these things unto the Lord. Are you glad you're a Christian tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen, Brother Keith. God bless you. Appreciate you, brother.
I don't got much voice, but what I have, I'm going to give to the Lord. In case anybody forgot, I'm healed. Amen. I want the devil to know it. I want everybody to know it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come into your gates with thanksgiving and praise. Lord, you hear these prayer requests read, and I think back, if you've ever had back pain, you can certainly enter into someone who's had back pain. If you've ever had cancer, you can certainly enter into someone who's got cancer and don't have long to live. And salvation, Lord, we don't know the situation, but you want everybody to be saved if they'll just accept it. And Father, here we are tonight, your people. You've let us in our humanity, earth, go through certain things to bring glory to your name, but also that we can pray for others that have these like symptoms that we do, because you're an ever-present God, and we can show forth your glory by telling them God still heals, God still is on the throne, and showing light to this dark, dark generation. So, Father, here we are committing them into your hands. You took those stripes on your back for a purpose. Not just so we could read it in the Bible, but because it could become manifest in 2016. Bless this service, Father. Help our brother. Get him out of the way. Get us out of the way so it'll be you on one end and you on the other, pulling in between. And we will turn and give you thanks and praise and honor. Be with us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ushers, if you want to come tonight, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor tonight with us in the service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that are streaming, we pray this service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let's sing a song tonight. Oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Was it a happy day for you? Is it still a happy day for you? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more hand clap of praise tonight. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. When Jesus washed. When Jesus washed. When my Jesus washed. He washed my sins away. Oh, happy day.
Day. Oh, happy day when Jesus was.
Oh, when Jesus was.
When Jesus was.
Oh, when he was.
When Jesus was.
Oh, when he was.
He washed my sins away.
Oh, yes, he did.
And pray,
oh,
and to live rejoicing, I can live rejoicing every day,
oh, yes,
every day.
Well, it's a happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
When
Jesus was,
he washed my sins away.
Happy day.
Lord, it's a happy day. He taught me how to watch. Watch and pray.
Watch and pray.
When Jesus was,
when
my Jesus was,
when Jesus was,
when my Jesus was,
when Jesus was,
when my Jesus was,
when Jesus was,
when my Jesus was,
when Jesus was,
he washed my sins away.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, sing it, Brother Harry.
Oh, happy day. He taught me how. Watch and pray. Oh, watch and pray. He said I could live rejoicing. Live rejoicing. Every day.
Oh, each and every day. Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
When Jesus was,
when my Jesus was,
since my Jesus was,
when my Jesus was,
when Jesus was,
he washed my sins away.
Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day.
Oh, it's a happy day. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. You can be seated tonight. Sister Anna Lynch is going to give us a song. She'll come onto the platform and be getting ready to sing. Let's sing a little chorus as she gets ready to sing for us this time. So much to thank you for. We are approaching the end of the year. It's been a great year to live for the Lord. Been a great year to be together as a body of Christ. Been a great year to sit under this ministry. Been a great year to know that God's still real. He still saves. He still heals. He still keeps us. Aren't you glad about it tonight? And I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for, you see. He's been so good to me. When I think of what He's done and where He brought me from, I've got so much to thank Him for. One more time. I've got so much to thank Him for. So much to praise Him for. You see, He's been so good to you and me.
When
I think of what He's done
and where
He brought me from,
I've got so much to thank Him for.
Give Sister Lynch a nice hand tonight as she sings for him.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bow down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned him from sin. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. Quill and every man. by trade, to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to
possible that we could write the love of God. It's just impossible. I mean, to be able even to understand God, to be able to explain God, it's just, He's just so great, He's just so infinite, we're so finite, it's just not able. Can I explain God? No. Do I understand God? Partially. But it's just Albert Einstein said one time, he said, until you can understand something, if you can't explain it, you can't explain it until you can understand it. So I can't understand God, so how can I explain God? I don't fully understand Him, but we're learning a little bit more and more all the time. While you're turning your Bibles to the book of Revelations, if you would like to turn or watch it on the screen, it's just a joy to be back in the house of God. Thank you, Brother Lloyd. Appreciate each one of you. You know, I'm kind of glad Halloween's over. But I did see one church sign I thought was real, real good. It said, "Heaven is no trick and hell is no treat." I thought that's real good. And that's the way out. Heaven's no trick and hell is sure no treat. But thank God that God has given us a word for this day. I'm just so happy. Amen. We want to look, if we could, in the book of Revelations 3, verses 14 through 18, down Revelations 22, 16 and 17. It's just a blessing to be. I always say, well, it's just, I'm glad, I'm so glad I get to come to church. We get to come to church tonight. Maybe I ought to say, you get to come to church. I have to come to church. Because I'd rather be out there getting to come to church and listen to somebody else preach. But it falls my lot tonight. But Lord will be merciful, I'm sure. We'll have something I've been looking into for three or four months. I have had a real wonderful time listening to Spoken Word, its original seed, over and over and over and over and over and over. Tremendous, tremendous message. We're going to be taking a lot of things out of that tonight, Lord willing. In the book of Revelations, chapter 3, verse 14, I want to get right into the Word. The Bible says this. Are you ready? "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now pay attention. Because thou sayest. Now, Brother Bram said this is the only church age that actually felt like they were speaking for God. Because thou sayest. They're speaking. And this is what thou, what they are saying. I'm rich. I'm increasing goods. I don't have need of nothing. That's what the church world is saying. Rich, increase. I don't need anything. Have need of nothing. But God is saying, but knowest thou not that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and even naked. So they say they're rich, increasing goods. You ever think about it? Rich, there'd never have been 100 years ago, we didn't have billionaires like we have today. Increasing goods, you drive by and you look in somebody's carport, they can't even get the car in the garage. Somebody's junk in the garage. When have we ever seen so many self-storage bins? We didn't have self-storage bins 100 years ago. Everybody's got self-storage bins. I got so much stuff. Rich, increasing goods. But he says, but you're wretched, having toils, troubles. Now this is a condition of the church. You're wretched, having toils, troubles, and afflictions, and you're miserable. That's to be pitied. You're poor. That's destitute of Christian character. You're blind. You're spiritually blind and naked. Spiritually speaking, it means without a body. In other words, you don't have no theophany. You don't have no body. You're spiritually blind. Spiritually naked, rather. Spiritually naked. To be clothed with the Word. So that's what he's saying the church is. They're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and even naked. Not so with the bride.
Amen.
Remember now, they were rich in the garden, but they lost it. They were clothed in the garden, but they lost it. They could see eternal life in the garden, but they lost it.
Amen.
Now here's true riches. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness, didn't they talk about the shame of thy nakedness? They were naked in the Garden of Eden, but there was no shame at the beginning. But now we have in Laodicea that the shame of your nakedness, you need to get something to cover it. Do not appear and anoint thy eyes with eye salve that you may see. Now in Revelation 22:16-17, Jesus speaking, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And here's my thought, just these words right here. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and we'll just stop right there. Heavenly Father, we look to you tonight. You're the author and the finisher of our faith. You're the great I am. You're the way, the truth, the life. So good to be back in the house of God. Pray, Lord, for each one of the requests that were given in, that you would join your faith with our faith, that it would become perfect faith, and we'll see the results come. Now, anoint your servant to speak, Lord. We don't want to hold them long, but we want to have church tonight on this Wednesday night. Bless our pastor and Daryl and David and different ones that are perhaps maybe not be here tonight, but those that are here, we want to see you glorified, magnified, and exalted, and speak to us, Lord, through your word. We ask. Hide me behind the cross. Help me, Lord, and I'm the needy one. In Jesus Christ's name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. You can be seated. I want to speak to you just for a few moments tonight on the final voice. You say, well, the final voice. Praise the Lord, the final voice. And we know who the final voice is. The bride is going to be the final voice. The bride is the final voice. You say, well, we being the final voice, I'm going to speak squirrels, and I'm going to speak tumors, and I'm going to speak fish will be jumping out of the water. I'm going to speak eternal life. You might not speak nothing. You got to think about now when you talk about the final voice. What are we really talking about? We know who it is, but let's look at some of the ramifications that's brought us to where we at. How it has come to pass, and what a privilege it is to be that voice. I mean, did not even Jesus, you know, Paul over here in the book of Hebrews, he says, you know, that didn't the blood of Jesus Christ speaketh better things than the blood of Abel speaketh? He said the blood speaks. Then when God was talking to Cain, you know, and he said, Cain, you know, what have you done? Where's your brother Abel? And he said, am I my brother's keeper? And he says, you know, I hear his blood crying out to me.
Amen.
Crying out. The blood speaks. So it has a voice, if you want to look at it that way. So we want to talk about the final voice, if we could, if you'll just stay with us. Now, I want to read a couple of quotes here as we get just a little bit of introduction. And we're happy to be in church. Just happy to be in church. Listen to what he said here. Part when Brother Bram, if he said, pick up his pen and write. Listen to what he's saying. This first quote, whatever life was in the seed came forth into a plant and thence into fruit. The very same law applies to the church today. Whatever seed started the church will come forth and be like the original seed because it is the same seed. In these last days, the true bride church, Christ's seed, will come to the headstone and she will be the super church. You've heard this quote, but listen. The super race as she nears him. They and the bride will be so much like him that they will be in his very image. This is in order. Now listen, this is in order. This is in order to be united with him. To be united with him, we must have that oneness. We must come to that oneness. They will be one. Remember Jesus in John 17, his prayer, the only place he ever declared, my will, he said, Father, I will that where I am, they will be also. The only thing he ever asked for was our fellowship. They will be one. They will be the very manifestation of the living word. Now, here's another. A momentary consideration of the church history will prove how accurate this thought is. In the dark ages, the word was almost entirely lost to the people. But God sent Luther with the word. The Lutherans spoke for God at that time. But they organized again, and the pure word was lost for organization, tends toward dogma and creeds, and not simple word. They could no longer speak for God. So then God sent Wesley, and he was the voice of the word with the word in that day. The people who took his revelation from God became all preachers. He didn't say that. Became living epistles. That means many. That means people, not just preachers. Became living epistles, read and known of all men for their generation. When the Methodists failed, God raised up others, and so has gone through the years until the last days. There again will be another people in the land who, under their messenger, will be the final voice to this final age. Under that messenger. You get away from the messenger, you're not under the messenger. Now, you say, well, sure, we know who the bride is. It's the final voice, but those that are alive and remain. But I want to also discuss why we need a voice. Why we need a final voice. Why do we need a final voice? How do we get to this point? And I want to show you God's reward. God's reward for this high, exalted place that God gave this final voice that we are supposed to be. How he has elevated this bride to such a state. Show where it come from. And also, we might just say, why the final voice cannot be deceived? And I want to ask you a question also. We're talking about, you know, God told Adam and Eve to, before even in Genesis 2, multiply, replenish the earth. Now, if I would ask you a question, did Eve replenish the earth properly? No. Who's going to replenish the earth properly? You might be astounded at what Brother Ram said. Now, God is a spirit. But God can speak. He spoke to Adam. He spoke to Eve, Noah, Moses, and all the prophets. And he spoke at Mount Sinai, the voice of thunder. And he said, the people said, don't let God speak, but let Moses speak, lest we die. So God has always had a voice and has always had a witness, but he always uses man. And just in a little bit of a very simple way, in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, as Brother Donnie has been showing us so wonderfully in these messages. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But if I would ask you the question, why did God need a Logos? Why was there a need for a Logos? Several reasons, but of course Logos means Word. And what a tremendous thing that, as I said, Brother Donnie has been bringing, but you have to have a Word to be able to express an inner thought. You have to be able to have words or a word. So you cannot convey a thought to someone unless you have a word or words or something verbal, some way to communicate. So you must know words to formulate thoughts of expression. And you can't read one another's mind. So we have to have words. And there had to be a word. It had to be a logos. There had to be an expression of God. So that's why Christ, the Word, the Logos, was the vehicle or the channel or the means to express God. Amen. So Christ is the revelation of God. The Word made flesh and dwelt among us. He tabernacled among us. He is the Word. And He became flesh and dwelt among us. So God's tabernacle was Christ. God's expression is Christ. God's thought is Christ. God's Word is Christ. God's words are Christ. God's attribute is Christ. It's all Christ. God's essence is Christ. God, the Bible is Christ. That's why Brother Bram says, if you don't read Christ in every word, go back and read it again because you missed something. Because this is Christ. And Christ is the expression of God. There had to be a word to express God. There had to be a logos. There had to be some way. We cannot read His thoughts. He had to express Himself. So that's why I said in Christ the mystery, if you don't see Christ, go back and read again. This whole Bible is a revelation of Jesus Christ. Such a beautiful picture. Now, God has always had a voice. And many times His voice is veiled, just like He's veiled Himself. God speaks plain if you have a receiver, or the right kind of receiver, let's put it that way. Now, why would God sometimes veil His voice? Listen to what Brother Bram said, why God sometimes veils His voice. Now, if you believe in the sovereignty and election of God, you don't have any problem with this quote. Unveiling of God, paragraph 21. May the Lord have add His blessings to the reading of the Word. Now, my subject this morning, I trust that God will reveal this. And each time if you take the tapes and listen, I hope and trust that you have a spiritual understanding of what that God has been trying to get over to the church. Now, this is in 64. Just think back over the years and months. See, it's a thing. Sometimes we have to say things in such a way that it might thin down. It might bring some to go out, some to leave, and some to ponder over, but that's done purposely. It must be done that way. Amen. Didn't Jesus have the 500, then down to 70, then down to 12, and then even down by Himself? He had to thin down the crowd. You say, paragraph 23, then it might be that some would say, you mean God purposely would do a thing like that? He certainly did. He does yet. Well, why did He put Matthew 28:19 in there and then put Acts 2:38? Why did He put that like that? And for the majority of the church world for 1,800 years, they take Matthew 28:19. He's got to thin down His crowd. I mean, I know Luther preached Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and that was okay for his day, but it's not so today. It's not a Bible teaching. It's a Catholic baptism. That it might thin down. He does yet today. And even the parables, and so many of the parables, you know, God did the parables because it wasn't given to them to know the secrets of God. Paragraph 31. And Jesus said that to weed down His crowd. Listen, He said that to weed down His crowd. See, till He could get the group together. Till He could get the group together. You know, when I think about till He could get the group together, why did God permit Brother Bam to say these things like they had become issues? Why do these things like the 16 men that fell off the bridge or some controversy about his birth certificate or this? Why did God permit these things to happen? There's got to be a falling away. There's got to be something that's going to be said to thin down. You know, you got unbelievers, you got make-believers, then you got genuine believers. You know, see, there's no real reason. Well, Brother Terry, why don't you come in and you just burn our hides tonight? There's really no need for that. I'll tell you why. Because we are not at the infancy stage. We are at the maturity stage. And whether or not they're whatever category you fall in, both the tares and the wheat are at full maturity, and you're not going to change any one of them. So pretty much the way the people are right now, that's just about the way they're going to stay. You're not going to change either ones. So why not? That's why Brother Donnie, he different ones, just preach to the bride, encourage the bride, get ready to get changed. If you're not listen, if you're not changed by now, you know, unless you're a young person or somebody just coming in, I'd be real careful. We ain't got too much more time. Remember, there will be a time that the doors close and souls that are now in prison. The way the tree leans, that's the way it falls. So there, and I'm not preaching souls are now in prison. I'm just saying, you know, there's no need to fuss and scold and beat and pull because look, we are almost to full adoption state. This is time to cross over. What you are, you better get there quick. What you're supposed to be. It's done purposely that way. Oh me, now listen, you know, all these, listen, even the brother that brought us into the message, the brother and his wife. For 2 years we worked at the post office for 2 years, and you know, we discussed the message, and he had a couple of hundred of the old reel-to-reels and a couple of grocery bags of spoken word books he'd picked up over the last 2 or 3 years. And he would just bring us in the messages, tell us all these good things. And once I began to understand the message and learn the message, just like you turn the light switch off, he just went sour. Just totally just turned it down. Brother Ram was a good man. I don't believe we were promised a prophet for this day. And on like that. And then he said, well, you know, you take like Brother Ram said, well, thus saith the Lord. He said, well, see, I'll show you where it's wrong, because in one message he's talking about, you know, women not cutting their hair. And, you know, and he said, gets down to the end. And he said, that's thus saith the Lord, 1 Corinthians 14. See, he said, that's thus saith the Lord. Well, it's 1 Corinthians 11. So he misquoted the scripture. And for that very reason, I just can't follow that. He wasn't saying, thus saith the Lord, to the scripture, to which actually number was 11 or 14. He's saying, thus saith the Lord, to the principle in the Bible. Come on, give me a break. But because there's got to be something that's got to thin them down and weed them out, something's got to do it. It may be little, it may be small, it may be big, I don't care what it is, but something, every kingdom that's going to be shaken, is going to be shaken, is being shaken. Somehow it's got to shake them loose so that the group can get together. The group has got to get together. Why, as Brother Donnie has said, why did, when Judas left, when after the Last Supper, when Judas left, then after that, then Jesus told them in St. John 14, all these close, intimate things, St. John 15, 16, his prayer in St. John 17, all these wonderful things, Judas was out of the picture. That he might get his group together. It's got to be that way. So it's done purposely. Amen. Jesus said that to weed down his crowd till he could get the group together. Amen. Unveiling God, paragraph 32. My subject this morning is to reveal or unveil God. God is always in every age hid behind a veil, all ages, but he's been God all the time. See, but he keeps himself hid from the world and reveals himself to his elected. Like the apostles that day, now God was speaking in Christ. Now, I'll ask you a question. Who determines who gets the revelation? Good question. Who determines who gets the revelation? Look at Luke 10:22. When I thought this, I just about had to spell it. It's a tremendous scripture. Jesus speaking, Luke 10:22. All things are delivered to me of my Father. Now listen to it close. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. The preacher can't get your revelation. Your brother can't give you a revelation. Only God will give you a revelation. And that's sovereignly given. Only who he will reveal to. That's why Brother Man said, above all things, pray for revelation. The rapture is a revelation. Faith is a revelation. It's all Jesus is a revelation of God. Christ is a mystery of God revealed. The bride is a mystery of Christ revealed. Pray for revelation. Then John 8:43, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear. They had ears, earlobes, but they couldn't hear. Hear means to perceive the sense of what is said or to comprehend. Let me say it this way. All the elect are set on the right frequency. Radio frequency? You know, if you're just one frequency off, you hear a little bit, but it's all garbled or, you know, and broke up and static. But if you're right on the right frequency, it's loud and clear. But if you've been given that receiver, what God placed in your heart, you have a receiver to receive Malachi for. It's coming in loud and clear. But sometimes you can't understand what people say. Sometimes people can't understand what God says. I was working on a job for fear about 4 or 5 years ago. I was over there working on a job, and I was outside doing a little something there. And there was a man pretty close in the house next door, and he's loading his truck or doing something like that. And he said to me, he said, "Hey, you seen any war?" I said, "Well, I mean, I was in the Air Force for 4 years, and I was a year in the Army." And I said, "No, I don't think I've seen any war." He said, "No, I'm not talking about that. Do you have any war?" And I said, "It finally come to me. You mean wire? Wire? Yeah. Do you have any wire? You have any war? I mean, okay. I don't know what part of Southern Tennessee he's from, but I didn't see any war, but I did have a little bit of wire for him." So you've got to be able to, you know, you've got to be able to understand his speech. You know, I understand Acts 2:38. I mean, to some people that's just war, you know, but to me it's wire. It's real clear to me, but you got to have a receiver. You got to be able to tune that in real good. So you know what to say if anybody ever asks you, have you ever seen any war, you know. So why can they not understand his speech? Now, listen to this Jewish principle. This is really good. This really should apply to us. This is what this one writer said. To become acquainted with, to know. To the Greeks, it meant to know facts. But these facts may or may not affect one's conduct. But to the Jew, true knowledge, talking about why do you not understand my speech, true knowledge always manifests itself in one's conduct. One did not know something until that fact had a practical outworking in his life. I can say that again. Unless you understand it fully, you can't explain it. But you know, if you can understand God and you have a revelation of God, you may not explain all God, but you're going to act like God. You're going to live like God. You're going to walk like God. You're going to talk like God. We got to start thinking like God. We got to start talking like God, because we're in the very image of God. We're representing God. We got to be the final voice for God. Somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to do it. We have got to be the manifestation of God's Word for this hour. Not just, well, I'm this and I'm that, but I'm talking about a living oracle, a living epistle, known and read of all men, a living epistle. Christ walking again in shoe leather. Notice this in the Sardian Church Age, 279. Now let's go a little bit further, but before we do this, let us review this case thus far. First of all, we know surely that the purpose of God stands in election. It was purpose in Him. It was God's purpose to bring forth a people like unto Himself. Get that. Like unto Himself. That would be a word bride. She was chosen before foundation of the world in Him. She was foreknown and beloved before she was ever brought forth during the ages upon the earth. Listen, brother, sister, if you were chosen, we were chosen for His purpose to be a people like Him. That just throws all the worldlyism out. If we are made in His image and designed to be in His image and designed to be like that, then we're going to act like Him. Now get this set in your mind. The purpose of this prophet was simply to put everything back in order. Before he came, everything was in disorder. Out of order. It was out of order. Out of control, if you will. But he was sent to restore and put things back in his proper order. I'm glad he put it back in the proper order. How's God going to catch a bride away that's out of order? We've got to be in order. This last age is the only age that will be identical to the first original age. The Omega bride is going to be like the Alpha bride. I want to read you some quick one-liners about what God has promised this bride will be. What's she going to do? It's going to be restored back. Restored back. Like the beginning. Like the beginning. Let's read several of them real quickly here. Resume of the Ages 379. The people of God are being made ready for the word of truth from her messenger, the messenger, to this age. In her will be the fullness of Pentecost, for the Spirit will bring the people right back to where they were at the beginning. That's thus saith the Lord. We're going right back to where at the beginning. Resume of the H's, paragraph 379. This is not the resurrection of the church. It is a restoration. God will take the church right back to Pentecost of the beginning. You can preach on all these. Was it so from the beginning? Paragraph 23. I'm so glad I believe that God planted a Holy Ghost seed on the day of Pentecost and that hybrid denomination. But after a while, it's going back to its original again. Back to the real Holy Ghost, back to the gospel message. Spoken words, original seed, 27. All of God's sons must be the same. Yes, sir. To be born of the Word and Spirit brings us back to the spoken word again, like in John 3. See, to be born of the water and the Spirit, what does it do? Then it brings you right back again into the place where you should have been at the beginning. Brother, I love these quotes. He's given us a promise. It's a prophecy. What this bride is going to be. Man here can turn on the lights. There's nothing can give you life but the spoken word of God. It's only where that life can come from is through His spoken word. Didn't the prophet of God say, thus this bride is a literal spoken seed word of God. You're a spoken seed word bride. He said there'll be a bride, so you are the bride. Pergamene church age. He did not complete all His work while in His earthly ministry. So now He works in and through the bride. She knows that for it was not yet time for Him to do certain things that He must do now. But He will now fulfill through the bride the work which He left for this specific time. What has God promised for us? Church Age, Book 365, the Spirit and the bride say, come. The corn of wheat, the bride of wheat fell into the ground, and now see it has come back to the original grain. Praise God forever. Yes, listen to the authenticated prophet of God who appears in this last age. What He says from God, the bride will say. Not something different. The Spirit and the bride say, come. They're saying the same thing. The Spirit and the prophet and the bride will be saying the same thing. Pergamene, Church Age 172. This harmony is now to exist between the groom and his bride. Notice the harmony of the Father and the Son. Jesus never did anything until first showed it by the Father. This harmony is now to exist between the groom and the bride. He shows her His word. She receives it. She doesn't ever doubt it. Now, I want to go back to the Garden of Eden. We want to just come down real quickly and I'll show you something. We're going to approach this a little bit different from perhaps maybe you would think about the final voice. Now, that was my introduction. I'm going to preach now, okay? Here's some things we need to remember, just basic principles. Every word of God is a seed. Every seed must bring forth of its kind. Every seed was intended to remain in its purest original form. Every seed of God is germatized. I'm giving you sermons right now. God cannot father an imperfect seed. God cannot father an imperfect seed. If a seed of God, it's got to be perfect. We might can father a mutation or whatever this or whatever that or a child, this is whatever, but God cannot father an imperfect seed. And the spoken word is the original seed. Now, what has been the major root problem for the last 6,000 years? And we can say, well, it was this and that and this and that. But I want to really hammer this down tonight. High breeding. Spoken word, paragraph 17. Now remember, every spoken word of God's original seed. God planted everything in the earth by His word, and as long as you stay with the original seed, it will bring itself right back and reproduce itself again. Hybrid and it dies. And Eve, the woman, was the first hybrid thing that there ever was. She was the first hybrid. It started there in the garden. When it hybrids, it's dead. Everything was created to live. Adam was created to live eternally. But as long as everything stayed in its original form, it would live. But by hybriding, it was introduced by Eve, and that brought death. Amen. Everything that's hybrid is dead. Amen. It dies. It cannot produce itself back as sterile like the old mule. Amen. Now, how was this possible? Spoken word, paragraph 16. Now, that's why we believe it, that the Word of God, therefore God's spoken word, and everything that God created, spoken to existence, is original. And you can hybrid some of His creation secondarily. That's the reason Eve could do what she did with her own seed, because she wasn't in the original creation. She's a byproduct of a man, not in the creation. God created whole things, and then He took part of creation and made a helpmeet. That's why everything that is hybrid dies. And we are born hybrid. We're born between Satan and Eve. You might as well say we're born dead. We're still born, if you want to say spiritually. We're born dead. That's why we must be born again. That's why we have to be born again, to bring us back to the original condition. The original condition. The original condition. I'm going to say it again. Did you hear what I said? The original condition. The Alpha has got to meet the Omega. The Omega's got to be like the Alpha. We've got to go back to the original condition. Again, spoken word. Paragraph 20. Is that a seed? Every spoken word of God is a seed. That's right. I'm going to prove that in just a minute where Jesus says, every spoken word of God is a seed. Then except a man be born again, why must he be born again? He's dead in the fashion he's in. He's a hybrid. I'm a hybrid. You're a hybrid. You was born between Satan and Eve, as the prophet said. That might be hard to swallow, but that's still the truth. He's got to be born again. Why? He was born in sin from Eve's sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. He's a liar to begin with. No matter how smart, educated, what more, he's a liar. The Bible says he's a liar. Coming to this world speaking lies is a liar to begin with. Just to show you how dangerous hybriding is, condemnation by representation. Like the perverted vine, Jesus said it wasn't so from the beginning. And it isn't so at the beginning. God wanted every seed to bring forth of its kind. And we hybrid anything, it ruins God's program. You take a flower, original flower, or violet, or blue, or white, leave it alone, it'll go back to white. You have to keep breeding up all the time. God makes things different. He likes it different. And hybriding is such a dangerous and damnable thing till it ruins God's plan. It ruins the human race. Hybriding is like the love of money is the root of all evil. Hybriding, Eve was the first hybrid thing there ever was and brought death to the whole world. Amen. And if we're down, or not if, but since we're down at the end of all time and God's going to take a perfect bride, we've got to be just the exact opposite of anything that's even closely related to hybriding. It's got to be back to its purest form. It's the only way God can take a bride in rapture is back to its purest form. Are you with me so far? Are you following with me? And hybriding is such a dangerous thing. Now, let me read this quote. We read it at the beginning. And we'll read the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. Spoken word, paragraph 27. All of God's sons must be the same. Yes, sir. To be born of the Word and Spirit brings us back to the spoken word again. Like in John 3, to be born of the water and of the Spirit, what does it do? Then it brings you right back again to the place where you should have been at the beginning. See, that's the reason Christ's death brings us right back again to where? Sons of God. But now look, the next paragraph. If Eve would have brought forth that child, she would have finally done it. Did not God tell her, multiply and replenish the earth? But she had to walk over there and play the part of a whore. Now I want to read you another quote to substantiate what I'm fixing to tell you. Spoken word, paragraph 36. Isaiah, the prophet, predestinated even before the world began, he should have come through the womb of Eve. Did you hear what I said? Isaiah, the prophet, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later, he should have come through the womb of Eve, but then he come through the womb of a woman. We're actually talking about his own mother. But he should have come through the womb of Eve. And again, As we said a little while ago, if Eve would have broke forth that child, I say, what child? Every child. God's original perfect will plan was spoken word children. Every child should have come through the womb of Eve. All children. By the spoken word from Adam. By the spoken word of God. Not created out of thin air, but a spoken word from Adam. It said, you'll be for a child. Bring forth a child. You say, well, it wasn't the coming through the womb of a woman that was the sin. And Christ proved that because Christ was born, He come through the womb of a woman. But it was the sex desire which was the original sin, not the fact that He came through a woman. God's original plan was that all His children would come through Eve. She would be the mother of all living spiritually. That's why I said Isaiah should have come through the womb of Eve. You should, I should, we all should. But, you know, of course, God has a perfect will. He has permissible. He knew it would be. He had to express His attributes. But that's the way God had planned it before. He said it right there. Argue with Him. That's what He said. Come through the womb of a woman. Coming through the womb of the woman was not the sin. It was the sex desire. As I said, Jesus proved that. Now, I'm going to say something now. Mary did what Eve couldn't do. Mary did what Eve could not do. Amen. What Eve was not able to do, Mary completed. Amen. But Eve couldn't wait. She should have waited. So if Eve become the first hybrid thing, or since she did, and she brought in death, Mary brought in life. Oh, just follow with me. I want to show you something real good here. Eve brought death through her womb, and Mary brought life through her womb. What was the difference? Mary had a virgin womb, and only a virgin womb can bring forth life, spiritually speaking, spiritual life. Mary had a virgin womb naturally and spiritually. Mary, she had a virgin womb naturally and spiritually. Now, pay attention. We're going to read some scriptures here. I want to show you something in a minute. Let's go back to Genesis 1:27. We'll go through these quickly. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in His own image. What image? He was a spirit man. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Remember, this is before the fall. Adam was created a spirit being. Verse 28. And God blessed them. Eve was in Adam. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. That's them. That's in Genesis 2. And subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And Genesis 1. Now Genesis 2:7. Look in Genesis 2. Now the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward of Eden, and there He put the man. Now Eve was in this man whom He had formed. Remember now, Eve was in Adam when He said, multiply and replenish the earth. Genesis 2:16. And the Lord God commanded man, saying, of the tree of the garden of Eden thou must eat. 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Verse 18, and the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Now go to verse 22. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made He a woman and brought her unto the man. 23, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She is called woman because she is taken out of man. Now that's the feminine spirit that he separated from Adam. Now, going a little farther, watch this conversation in Genesis 3 between Eve and the serpent. In verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now Eve is telling the serpent, God told me not to partake of that forbidden fruit. Now she knew what it was. I mean, we know what the original sin was. She knew what it was. But I want to ask you this question. Who told her that? Who told her that? Remember now, God told Adam back in Genesis 2, multiply and replenish the earth before He ever formed Eve. Made Eve. So who told her that? How did she know that? How did she know to tell the serpent what God had said? Either God told her also, or Adam had to tell her. It doesn't really matter. But the fact of the matter is, she knew it was wrong. She knew it was wrong. Because she said, listen, serpent, God said, if I partake of this, I'm going to die. And then the serpent said, well, surely, of course God doth know. But the fact that she knew it, so why did she do it, being told not to do it? Why did she do it? That's the question. She knew not to do it, but why did she do it? Because she was deceivable. Because she was deceivable. Now, I want to, if I would just ask, because she was deceivable. Now, she was deceived because she was not of the original spoken word creation of God. She was a product of a byproduct of the man. Adam was not and could not be deceived. He was original creation. I'm showing you a pattern in the form of what we've got to get back to. But she was a byproduct of the man. Now, Eve, remember now, Eve, the church. Eve, the church. Eve, the church. When you think of woman, think about the church. Eve, the church, was a hybrid and failed by listening to Satan's reasoning. Now, we're talking about the first voice. Remember, a woman was co-equal with man. Now, why did the serpent have this conversation with him? Why didn't the serpent say, well, Eve, go get your husband? We'll talk about this thing. The serpent, because the serpent was under the anointing of Satan, and Satan said, you leave Adam out of this. I'm going to talk to you, because the serpent knew, Satan knew, Lucifer knew, that there's Adam, he's a creative son of God, I can't touch him. But I have an avenue that I can touch. You just leave him alone. Eve, you just leave him alone, I'm going to talk to you. Think about what I'm saying here now. Leave Adam alone, he's not in the picture, just leave him alone. Now listen. Here it is now. Don't miss it. Here's what I'm getting to. The first son was spoken seed word of God. The first spoken word of seed, 119. The first son was the spoken seed word of God. We're given a bride to reproduce himself. He was given a bride. I'm just reviewing the spirit. I was picking up what he said. He was given a bride to produce himself. That's why he was given a bride to reproduce himself. Amen. She failed. See, that's what the bride was given, to produce himself again, another son of God. But she fell by hybriding. See, produce himself, but she fell, cause him to die. What's he saying there? Adam was given a bride to produce himself. Produce himself. Why, when the children are born, why does the children take the father's name? Why, when a woman marries a man, why does she take the husband's name? Because he bears the seed line. She doesn't have the seed. He has the seed. In divorce courts today, they always give the children to the woman. They're my children. They're my children. They're not her children. It's his children. He has the seed. The seed line comes from him. Remember, you know, in Hebrews, talking about in Hebrews, and Melchizedek from four generations down through the man, the male, the seed, not the woman. Are you with me now? But she fell by hybriding. When Adam came to her, she didn't have a virgin womb anymore. Then he goes on to say in paragraph 119, verse 6, the second son, which is Christ, a spoken seed word of God, was given a bride like Adam. But before he could marry her, she had fallen also. Amen. We're coming on down now. For she was put to a free moral agency like Adam's wife was, to believe God's word, live, or to doubt it and die, as she did. So what is the pattern? Adam had a bride. She fell by disbelieving the word. Jehovah had a bride. She fell. In the days of Solomon and Samuel, they wanted a king, and also in leaving Egypt, you know, they told him not to marry the Moabite women, and God never did forgive that sin. Jehovah's bride failed. Jesus had a bride. Brother Ben said, she fell at Nicaea, Rome. But God has purposed to have a bride. He's going to have a bride somewhere, Brother Rob. He's going to have a bride. An original spoken seed word, a pure bride, not hybrid of anything. Oh, praise the Lord. Aren't you thankful for the rest of the story? Listen, spoken word, original seed, paragraph 88. Here it is. We were sowed with the word. Someday I'll bring life into the earth and replenish the earth. Listen, this is just, when I saw this, what Eve failed to do, Mary did. What Eve failed to do, Mary did. Listen to what he said. She took the word. Eve took Satan's lie. Mary took God's word. And listen to this. Look at this thought. And through Mary's seed, replenishes the earth again through his bride.
Glory! Through, because this bride will believe the word. What did Mary say? Well, the angel said, you're going to have a son. He said, well, how can this thing be? And he explains this. He said, well, be it unto me according to thy word. But what did Eve do? Eve listened to his reason and gave in and fell because she was deceived. She had a pure womb. She had a pure mind. She had a pure womb to begin with. But she was put on three more layers as she fell by reasoning. But through Mary, she had a virgin womb and a virgin mind, but she took the word. Even to Eve took Satan reasoning, but Mary stayed with the word. Somebody's going to stay with the word, Brother Keith. Somebody's going to believe the word, say the word, speak the word, live the word, be the word. Somebody's got to do it. Somebody's going to do it. What Eve failed to do, Mary did. She took the word. Eve took Satan's lie. Mary took God's word. And through Mary's seed, which is Christ, through Mary's seed, replenishes the earth again through the bride. Then he said, well, we're talking about multiply and replenishing the earth. Eve never did properly replenish the earth. She had children, but she didn't do it properly. But Christ came and corrected everything that Eve did wrong. And through Mary, she was to replenish the earth through Christ, through the bride. Through the Word. And we'll bring up the millennium. And through that goes the Word. And the Word was planted. And the Word was planted to every predestinated heart. Not by the preacher. God put it there. God put that seed there. You were born with that seed if you were predestinated. Through that goes the Word, and the Word is planted in every predestinated heart, and the Spirit comes down and waters it, and they cannot die. I'll raise them up in the last day, old brother, sister, that's real. Look now. Look at the high order that Eve was placed on. Remember, she was supposed to be the mother of all that lived eternally. She was the mother of all living, but she was supposed to be the mother that lived all eternally. But she brought in death because she hybrid. Spoken seed word children, they wouldn't die. But she listened to Satan's reason, became the first hybrid and caused death and sickness and heartache in every hospital. She lost her co-equalness with Adam. She used to be co-equal even with Adam. But she lost her co-equalness. She lost it. She should have been the mother of all living eternally, but she lowered herself to be the mother of all who died. Look what high order, look what high order God had given her originally, Eve now. Now watch this, marriage and divorce. Now it was then man was made to rule over the woman by God's word. She was no more co-equal with him after the fall. She was co-equal in nature, you know. But when she broke God's word, God made a man to be a ruler over her, Genesis 3:16, if you want to put it down. She was no more equal with the man. She was the breaker of God's word. Do you see? She, the church, she, the church, she, the church, she, the church down here, the breaker of God's word, that throwed her completely out of continuity. Amen. Listen now, when you think about the woman, think about church. She, the church, she, the church, throwed it completely out of continuity, and that's what the church has done, and throwed spiritual death to the whole thing. No wonder God had to send a prophet. No wonder God had to send somebody to restore the word back. No wonder we had to have somebody tell us, how do we get back to truth? How do we get back restored? How do we get out of this mess that we have? How do we get back on the right track? How do we get out of here? You got this church and this doctrine and this belief and a little bit of this and a little bit of that. The last day bride, the rapture's got to be pure word. God had a perfect Eden to begin with. It failed, and he said everything that Adam lost has been restored back. Where is it at? It's got to be somewhere. It's got to be somewhere. She, the church down here, the breaker of God's word, that throwed her completely out of continuity. And that's what your church has done, and throwed spiritual death upon the whole thing. Now you understand why I hammer it at these things like I do. It's truth. It's Bible facts. Always keep in mind the woman, the church, the woman, the church, the woman, the church. Now real quickly, the very day Eve fell, God began the redemption plan because it was Christ and Adam. Down through many hundreds of years, we find, talking about women now, churches. We had an Esther and a Ruth and a Rahab all in the redemption cycle. During that time, we see Jehovah's bride. She fell, as we talked about. Then you come on down to Mary. And what Eve failed to do, Mary did. She took the word. Eve took Satan's lie. Mary took God's word. And through Mary's seed replenishes the earth again through His bride, as we just said. And Jesus had a bride. She fell at Nicaea, Rome. That word was nearly almost lost for 2,000 years, except for the little remnant of the bride in each church age. Then in Luther's day, I will restore, saith the Lord. Go back to Joel's prophecy and so forth. I will restore all the years that locusts upon worm, cake work and so forth. I will restore. So Eve, the woman in the church, she began to receive some of her authority back. I will restore. I will restore. The woman, the church. The woman, the church. Now remember the first quote I read? God sent Luther with the word. The Lutherans spoke for God at that time. But they organized, again, the pure word was lost for organization, tense word, dogma, creeds, and not the simple. They could no longer speak for God. Then God sent Wesley, and he was the voice in this day. The people who took the revelation from God became the living epistles, read and known of all men for their generation. When the Methodists failed, God raised up others. And so it has gone down through the years until in the last day, there again is another people in the land, and under their messenger, will be the final voice to the final age. People that think they're going to go in a rapture outside of this message, you're wrong, you're false, it won't happen. This is a rapture message because this is a restoration back to the pure word. Amen. It's got to be pure word, it's got to be original, it's got to be unhybrid, it's got to be pure. That's the only thing God's going to raise up is a pure word in the resurrection. It's got to be pure word. That's why hybriding is such a damnable thing. It's because it started at the beginning. Eve was the first hybrid there was. And it came on down and down and down and down. The final voice. Now listen as we try to find a place. Look at the high order that God has restored the woman to, the church. To wind all this up, 6,000 years of history. Now who's the spokesperson? Yes, of course we know the bride is. Now, I want to read you, this is such a tremendous, tremendous, this is an exhibition of Church 8, 361. Verse 21, to him that overcometh, this is the reward for our generation. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcome and am set down with my Father in his throne. Now, watch, listen, pay attention, receive, put it in your hard drive. Think about it. Meditate it. Eat on it. Photograph it. Put it on your refrigerator. We find the true vine, the true spirit, the true church people exalted to the very throne of God with the highest compliment ever paid to a humble, steadfast spiritual group. Look where the woman Eve, the beginning, where a high order she was, co-equal with Adam. Then she fell, and then now, man shall be your ruler, and all the way down, 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 down. Then I will restore back in Luther and begin to give the woman, the church, a little bit of the authority back. A little bit more back. Wesley, Pentecost. Now through the bride, through the last day, word has been restored by a prophet. Look at the position. Look at the high order now. Being restored to this woman, this church. You talk about a privilege. A privilege. A privilege to sit in this church or the message church to listen to these tapes, to hear his voice, to have an understanding of this message. Brother, there is not a privilege on the face of the earth, brother men, any greater than this, what we have, this message. Amen. God has called you to even sit in his throne. Amen. Exalted to share his throne with him. Nobody else. Only his bride. Exalting this woman, this church, back up. Perfect in the beginning. Fail. I will restore, saith the Lord. You've got to be. And not only restore back, but exalted. Exalted all the way to be granted to sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcome and am sitting down with my Father in his throne. The highest compliment ever paid. Brother Keith, when I think about it, that it's just overwhelming. God let me see it. He let you see it. He let you see it. Why did He let you see it? Why did He let you see it? Each one of you, why did He let Brother Rob, why did He let you see it? I always tell him, Brother Rob, I'm so glad you come to the message. He said, I'm glad you did too. Why did He let you see it? I'm so glad He let me see it. Why? Because I was elected to see it. I was ordained to see it. Brother, it's just a beautiful picture. Think of it now. From the fall, the first woman to the highest exalted position of the last woman, the bride. Now, let me just show you one more thing here before we close here. In Genesis 3:22, when the Lord showed this to me, I just about had a fit. I'm going to show you something. This is just to show you also how God has exalted the church, the woman, the church. Genesis 3:22, and the Lord said, behold, the man has become one of us to know good and evil. That's after the fall and everything. He said, we won't take time to read the background, but you can read it. You know what's leading up to this. And the Lord said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Beautiful scripture. But what does it mean? It takes a prophet to tell us what it means. I didn't know this until I saw this. In Revelation chapter 3, paragraph 288, the prophet tells us, and the Lord said, behold, the man has become one of us. Now, he never said the woman. Did you ever notice that? He never said the woman has become one. The man has become one and knows good and evil. The woman didn't. She was deceived. Do you see it? Paul said, I suffer a woman not to teach or usurp authority, but Adam was first formed and then Eve. Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived. So she didn't become one of God. It's right there. I'm reading it to you. She didn't know no difference. She was deceived. Do you get it? If you do, say amen. But he said to the man, you have become one of us. He was not deceived, but the woman was deceived. Amen. That's why I suffer not a woman to preach or usurp authority over the man. That's why she's not supposed to carry the gospel. That's why this, that, and the other. But look at the high order God's restored the woman the church back to. If you go back and sisters especially, you go back and listen to marriage divorce about a half a dozen or a dozen times over and over and over again, you won't have any problem with respecting your husband as headship. Go listen to it. I mean, oh, well, it just says, you know, go and live as you are. There's a whole lot to it, more to it than that. Go listen to where the woman's place was, and the only place she had a place being in the covenant, and on and on and on and on and on and on down. He said, she never said the woman has become one, but the man has become one and knows good and evil. The woman didn't. She was deceived, do you see? So she didn't become one of God. She didn't know no difference. She was deceived. Adam could not be deceived. He was a creative son of God, but the woman was deceived. God made it that way. That's the only way God could manifest and fulfill His attributes to be a savior and a redeemer and a healer. It had to be that way. He had to make a woman thus. It had to be a byproduct. It could not be original creation. It could not have fallen as original creation. But He said He's going to restore it back like the original creation and elevate her to that high order. The woman, the church, the woman, the church. Say, well, she didn't become one of God then. That was then. But what about now? The end time. Listen to this and we'll find a place to close. The end time. Paragraph 50. Notice another beautiful type. Moses told Aaron, and he told the others to go out and gather up 7 big omers full of it. And they could keep it behind the host. Oh, talking about that manna that fell. That's a great miraculous thing. He said that every generation after that, that when a man become a priest, he could go and get a big mouthful of taste, a mouthful of the original manna. And when they asked, what is this? They'd say, it's from the beginning, a mouthful. Now, every man, here it is, every man that's coming to the priesthood, which we are all in the priesthood now, every man and woman coming to the priesthood We are royal priesthood, peculiar nation, offspring, spiritual offering, spiritual sacrifices, the fruits of our lips, giving praise unto God. Every one of us are priests. That's born again. That just makes me so happy. I can't hardly stand it. Everyone that's born again. What? That's something to shout about. It wasn't so then, but what about now? Every man, every woman, spiritual kings and priests. Elevated to that high order. What she was before she fell, now God's elevated her back. Not only the church, but the woman herself. Every man and woman that's born again is now kings and priests. Brother, that's just worth clapping. Let's give God a hand for it. That's worth shouting about. Every man and woman that's born of the Spirit of God has become kings and priests. Back in fellowship with God. Like you should have been at the beginning. Here's my summary. Revelation chapter 4, paragraph 170. Now, everybody can't be a preacher. But you got a voice. And if you can't preach people a sermon, if you're a preacher, you're called to the pulpit to preach. If you're not a preacher, if you're not, you're still a preacher, but you live people a sermon. Let your sermon be lived. Let your sermon be lived. Let your sermon be lived. I'm stuck. Let your sermon be lived. The prophet of God said, Your voice on earth, your lived out voice speaks louder on earth than it does in heaven. Let your sermon be lived. And it's the voice of God that'll bring reproach to them who reject it. The voice of God, the voice of God. Wait a minute, the voice of God. You're going to live the sermon, yet that's the voice of God. Because you are a lived sermon. And that's the voice of God to bring reproach to them who reject it. All you got to do is live your sermon. They say, no one could put a finger on his life. They're sweet, living there. If there ever was a man of God, that's a man or woman. See, live your sermons. Listen, brothers, sisters, especially sisters. Every time you walk into public with your dresses on and your skirts on and not wearing pants, you're the voice of God. Every time they sing your long hair out of Walmart or wherever you go, you're the voice of God. Every time the world sees you with a quiet and meek spirit, you're the voice of God. Every time you respect your husband, you know, with respect and honor, you're the voice of God. Every time you do what the Bible says for a woman, you're the voice of God. The same thing with men. Every time you refuse temptations and turn your head, you're the voice of God. Every time you live godly and holy and teach your children to live right and pray with them and have an altar in your home, you're the voice of God. Every time you have devotion with your family, you're the voice of God. Every time you deny yourself and take up your cross, you're the voice of God. Every time you say amen in the church today, you're the voice of God. What am I trying to say? It's a live sermon. What is a token? It's a literal life of Jesus Christ. It's a life lived. Anybody can say, I'm in the message, I'm a Christian, I'm this or I'm that, but you show me a death. The devil cannot live this life. He can boast about it, he can say this and he can say that, but he can't live it. That's why Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. Not by what speech comes out of your mouth. You could speak anything. You could speak anything, but show me a life lived. That's whether you got the goods or not. You say, well, like I said at the beginning, man, I'm going to speak squirrels and everything else. You might and you might not. But I tell you what, let's do. Let's come to full maturity and then we'll see what God will do about the squirrels and things, okay? Let's come to full adoption. God will take, remember, all five of those manifestations was sovereignly given anyway. Brother Brown never asked for neither one of them. That was all sovereignly given. You have a need. You have a need. What are you here for? What's your greatest desire? All sovereignly given. Just remember, God will give grace and He'll give supreme grace in this supreme hour. So let's first come to maturity and then we'll see what God will do, okay? Let's stand. And it's always at the weakest moments when it looks like the true message is about defeated. That's when God steps in. He lets His messenger and the message get to the end of the road. It looks like about now. People are leaving. You know, I thought about it. To me, now this is my opinion, okay? My opinion, off the books, off the record. When people accuse Brother Branham of lying and doing this and doing that, that's a cheap way to backslide. They didn't have the goods to begin with. They needed a way to backslide, so just accuse the prophet, and then they say, well, it was his fault, so I can backslide. Amen. It's a cheap way to backslide. Yes, they never had the goods to begin with. Amen. It's just like I said about the brothers that's supposed to have the airplane, that DC-6 airplane that Brother Man's going to fly around on. They really don't believe he's going to come and fly on that airplane. They don't believe it. You say they do? No, they don't. I know that. I'll tell you why they don't. Because if they really believed it, they'd have that airplane repaired, they'd have it fueled up, and they'd have it gassed up and sitting on the tarmac ready to go. It's going to take $2 million in about a year and a half or 2 years to restore the thing, even if they start it today. They don't believe it. Even the other group, they got a white horse in there that changed the guard every 4 hours. They believe the Muhammad or Muhammad's coming up, but they believe that. They've got a horse ready, waiting. They change it every 4 hours. They believe it. Because they've made preparation. If you don't make preparation, you don't believe it. Well, that was a good one, wasn't it? If you believe something, you're going to make preparation. But I just feel good about that. That's why we're in church tonight. We're making preparation because we believe there's going to be a rapture. Amen. The Spirit and the Bride say come. The Spirit and the Bride, we're saying the same thing. God, His final voice is in His Bride. She's going to live it. She's going to speak it. She's going to testify about it. Every time you go downtown, you're the voice of God. The final voice. Who else is gonna portray the Word of God? I was reading a quote the other day, Brother Vincent. Just sit in your car and just look out and see. Go down to Walmart and just see the people that pass by. It's sad. It's sad. If you separate it out and judge, well, we're not to judge anybody, I understand that, but just, you know what I'm saying, if we were just to analyze, Brother Ben said in future homes, I've got to guarantee you one thing, there won't be any bobbed-haired women in that city. So if you just take one thing, cutting hair, how many would that eliminate going in and out of Walmart? Then you take pants, how many would that eliminate going in and out of Walmart? I know they got a place that whosoever will, I believe every word of that. But when you go in Walmart with your long hair and your dresses and your quiet, meek spirit, you sisters and brothers, you don't have tattoos and your pants hanging down to your knees and so forth, act like some kind of a hoodlum or look like decent people, act like decent people, you're the voice of God to this world. Who else is going to show them? You're going to show them. You're the final voice. You're the only voice they'll ever see. They won't read the Bible, but they'll read you. Because you are written epistles known and read of all men. Praise the Lord. The Spirit and the Bride say come. Sing it for me. Glory. Let's worship for a few minutes. It's almost time to let you go home. Go ahead, brother.
The Spirit and the Bride sing come.
Glory, hallelujah.
The elect feelings stir inside their heart. Our uniting time has come. We and the Father are one. Soon we'll be with our Lord forevermore. She's hearing the shout of her King. The token's been applied. He's cleaning from inside. And the dove leads the lamb once again. Fine linen, clean and white,
right,
is granted to her.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Been washed
blood of God's own Son.
What now with righteousness?
With righteousness that's not our own. We stand just before His throne, where we'll reign with our Lord forevermore. Oh, the evening light has come. The bride is making preparation. We're still hearing the shout of our King. The token's been applied. He's cleaning from inside. And the dove leads the Lamb once again. Oh, the evening light has come. The bride is making preparation. She's hearing the shout of her King, lover and King. The token's been applied. He's cleaning from inside. And the dove leads the Lamb once again. Linen clean and white is granted to her. She's washed in the blood of God's own Son. With a righteousness that's not our own, we're just before His throne, where we'll reign with our Lord forevermore. Oh, the evening light has come. The bride is making preparation. We're hearing the shout of our King. Token's been applied. He's cleaning from inside. And the dove leads the Lamb once again. Oh, the dove leads the Lamb once again.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad for where we are. Where are we right now? We are just getting ready to cross over. Remember my little story I told you sometime? I won't go back and tell that story. But remember the little story I told about when we was flying on the airplane? We was out in the fog and we came in and the ground controller had to bring us in because of zero visibility. It was out about 40 miles and 30 miles and coming back in and coming into land there in Terre Haute, Spain. It was completely zero visibility. We couldn't land. And we said, we got to land. He said, well, the airport's closed. You can't land. I said, you don't understand. We're out of gas. We've got to land. He said, well, have you ever done a ground control approach? And I was just through the radar. I said, no, well, you're going to do one now because we got to land. But anyway, you heard me tell the story. But out about 40 miles and 30 miles and 20 miles, and the pilot and the ground controller, they're conversating back and forth. But when they, and I always thought this was so unique to me, being in the message, when the plane was about seven miles from landing, the controller is on the radio. He says to the pilot, "There be no need for any further conversation at this point. Only acknowledge my commands." From that point on, 6 miles, he says, "Turn your own glide path, your own descending slope. Turn right, turn left. Correcting above." So the pilot just acknowledges what the ground controller say. The ground controller knows how to bring him in. Amen. We're in total dark. We can't see the windshield wipers outside the airplane. We don't see nothing. I mean, it's zero visibility with the fog. I was on the airplane. I was up in the flight deck. I was watching. The sweat was rolling down on the pilot. He never done one of these before. Been trained, but never actually done one. So whatever the controller says, that's what he did to the letter. Amen. Turn right. Turn left. Correcting elevate. Down. 6 miles. 5 miles. Yes, sir. 4 miles. Acknowledge my command. 3 miles. 2 miles. 1 mile. Landing gear down. Check. Now you're over landing threshold. gear down, your only landing thrust, you should be over strobe lights, you should be touching down. Now, the wheels touch just about the time he said that. We did our rollout, and then the controller comes on and says, nice job. Our call sign was Charlie 2-1. Said, nice job, Charlie 2-1. You say, well, Brother Terry, what are you saying that for? The controller was the final voice. No, the controller wasn't the final voice, because Brother Brown said that the bride underneath the underneath the voice of the controller, she would be the final voice. So it wasn't the controller was the final voice, the pilot was the final voice, because the pilot obeyed the command of the controller. You're the final voice. Brother Brown's not the final voice. You're the final voice, because you're the one that lives out what he said. Brother Branham has done what he's supposed to do. He's gone to his great reward over there. A huge portion of heaven awaits thee. But guess who's here alive and remains? You, the bride, the elected, the predestinated, the chosen, the picked, the selected, on and on and on and on. Why shouldn't we be happy? Why shouldn't we be rejoicing? Why shouldn't we love Him with all of our heart? You talk about grace and predestination. You say, well, that gives me a license to do whatever I want to. I do everything I want to. I don't want to do it, because I love Him so much. I hear people say, I just want to get out of here. I want to get out of here. I want to get out of here. I hear very few people say, I really love the Lord Jesus. I've said it so many times, I'll say it again. What people need around this message is to fall in love with the man Christ Jesus. And I'll say this again. When I fell in love with my little pretty little wife there 43 years ago, all my high school sweethearts was dead. You understand what I mean? Dead. Dead, dead, dead. When you fall in love with Christ, the world's dead. You understand what I mean? Dead, dead, dead. Am I coming in loud and clear? So what do we need to do? Fall in love with Christ. Everything else is dead. Sing it, brother. One more time. We'll go home. I love Him. We'll worship, then we'll let you go.
The Spirit and the Bride will sing, come. The elect be in stir inside their hearts.
Hallelujah!
Our uniting time has come. We and the Father are one. Soon we'll be with our Lord forevermore. She's hearing the shout of her King. The token's been applied. He's cleaning from inside. And the dove is a lamb once again.
One more time and we'll let you go.
Oh, the evening light has come. The bride is making preparation.
Come back.
She's hearing the shout of her King. Token's been applied. He's cleaning from inside. And the dove leads the lamb once again.
Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, it's been so good to be in Your house. It's so good, Lord, You have given us the receiver to be able to hear, thus saith the Lord. The bride will have thus saith the Lord, or just keep still. We're so thankful, Lord, to be part of Your economy, part of Your chosen, to be part of You. You thought of us even before there was a foundation. We don't understand it all and certainly can't explain it all, but we're happy for it. We believe it, that we do. Father, I pray that You take these broke up words and help us to realize the exalted place that this bride has now been restored back to. All that Adam and Eve lost have been restored back to the bride. The Word made flesh once again. We're so thankful for what You've done for us.
Pray, Lord, especially for our brothers that are out hunting, those that are, traveling, wherever they might be. Brother David Seiler, where he preaches and labors so hard. Brother Darrell, them hunting, give them a little rest. Keep them safe, Lord. Don't let them have any accidents or anything. Bring them back safely. Lord, may we, while they're gone, do our little part, Lord, to pray and pray for them. Pray for the leaders. Not talking about the world leaders, that's okay, but pray for the deacons, pray for the trustees, pray for the leaders of the church. Lord, even I pray for that Yabunga church. I gave the request in Sunday morning that the disgruntled people, several of them there, have just tried to trump up false charges against the pastor, Brother Shiji, a godly man, and because they're just disgruntled, separators, Judases, if you will. But Lord, don't let it happen. Keep the church together. Lord, don't let it happen. We bind the devil in the name of the Lord Jesus. Bless the little group over there. Good bunch of people there in Tanzania and Dar es Salaam there, the capital of Tanzania. Keep them safe, Lord. God, let them just remain there until the rapture is my prayer. Until we meet again Saturday night, keep us in your perfect will under the wings of the great Jehovah Eagle. We ask these things in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody says,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. Dismissed in the name of the Lord. Harry's going to sing as you go. Take the name of Jesus with you. God bless you.
Can't you see why I'm so happy? I've accepted the word of the Lord. Spoken by the prophet of Malachi 4. Oh, can't you see why I'm so happy? I've accepted the word of the Lord, the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of Malachi. Can't you see why I'm so happy? I've accepted